We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. They knew there was a resurrection. That's all in the Old Testament. In the book of Job, it's clearly taught the resurrection of the body. So Martha knew that, but that was a long way off. It's been about 2,000 years since she said that. But we are 2,000 years nearer than the resurrection than when Martha made the statement. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection of life. You have the resurrection right here with you. You know, everything's wrapped up in Jesus. He's the resurrection. He's alive. Christianity is Christ. Christ is Christianity. He that hath the Son hath life. If you have Christ, you have everything. All you need is Christ. We always think we need something else, you know. We think we need money, a position, or something. You don't need anybody but Christ. If you have Christ, if you completely surrender to Him now, given over absolutely, unreservedly, not holding back anything, all out for Him, and He's your Savior and the Lord of your life, you'll get what you ought to have. Because you'll obey His orders, you'll live like He says live, you'll do what He tells you to do, and you'll get what you ought to have. You'll get all you need. And Jesus said, no, I am the resurrection of life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, wait a minute. He said, all that die will be raised, and all who are alive when I come. He doesn't go into detail yet. We get that later. Paul said he revealed that to us. He said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That is, we shall not all die. In other words, he said, there'll be one generation of Christians that won't die. Now, Jesus seems to intimate here, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and called her for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. That's interesting. As soon as Jesus called, she answered. You know why she did? Her heart answered. Wasn't in trouble with her head. Never is any trouble with a man's head if his heart's right. You know, the trouble never has been the head of a sinner. It's always in the heart of a sinner. Her heart answered. Jesus comes and the Master's called for you. And she went immediately. She didn't say, well, I'll do it some other time. I'll see him later. All she needed to know was he was calling. Oh, what consecration. How little we know about it. How little we know about it. I'm told to somebody today that you feel called of God to do something. You just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. I talked to a very nice fellow. I think he is honest and wants to do the right thing. And that man now hopes to correct a situation. He hopes to correct it. He's endeavoring to make a correction of a certain thing in his own church he thinks should be corrected. But while he's hoping to correct that situation, he's supporting something and that church is wrong. See? Now, that's not surrender. In other words, no man can ever correct a thing that's wrong while he himself is doing something that's wrong. See? He can't. He himself is doing wrong while he supports something wrong. And yet he's trying to correct something that he says is wrong. But I'll do wrong in order to do right, to fix something that ought to be fixed. Now you see how it works, how illogical it is? It just doesn't work. Now I said to him in substance, well, why don't you just say I won't do anything until this thing's corrected? Take your stand like that and hold it. I won't support this cause. It's wrong and I won't support it. Why don't you take that stand? That's a Christian stand. Men and women, let me tell you something. We need to set up some standards in this country, some real honest-to-goodness standards, and hold up those standards. That's what's the matter with the world. The standards have fallen down. And so many people are falling for things. Somebody told me about an evangelist some time ago, a certain evangelist. A pretty nice fellow, you know. He said, well, you know, I go along and I get to preach to big crowds. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Hitler spoke to big crowds. Mussolini spoke to big crowds. You can get big crowds in, with a sensational setup and a publicized program. That's no trouble to get crowds. Drawing a crowd is the easiest thing in the world. Any man that knows how and knows crowd psychology can take $5,000 and go to any city in America and make an announcement on any subject and draw a crowd if he knows how to get crowds. But that's not right. You shouldn't draw crowds by doing wrong. You shouldn't do something wrong to get a crowd. It's all a sin, that's all. So we go along and say, well, I'll fix it later. She didn't say that. Mary said, the master calls, and I'm going. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, following her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Otherwise, Mary said, they couldn't die when you were there. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He just can't die when you're there. You came after he's dead, but if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. You have life that had kept him living. He couldn't have died. You can't die in the presence of Jesus. You can't die spiritually. He raises people who are dead spiritually and gives spiritual life and eternal life. Eternal life. Oh, those big words joined together. Eternal life. How marvelous. Now, we read about eternal death. Death that never ends and life that never ends. We get the eternal life from Jesus, and if you walk away from it, it's eternal death. There is no life apart from him. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, thy brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Sympathetic understanding Christ. Listen, men and women, if you are right with God, if you surrender to Jesus, no tear ever stains your cheek, but he feels it on his cheek. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. People talk about the happy Christ and all that kind of thing. Why, Jesus Christ lived in the shadow of his own cross all his life. He, as a boy, said, wish ye not I must be about my Father's business. And all the way down the road of life, he's walking on down toward the cross. He came to die, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, the sinless one to be made sin for a lost world. You will never be able to fathom the depth of his suffering, his loneliness, his sorrow. Came to his own people, and his own people wouldn't have him. Came to his own world, and he'd made, and his own world rejected him. Gathered about him a little crowd to stay with him, and people he loved, and then in the hour, tragic hour in the garden, they left him. Then he went up to the cross, and so he might pay the debt for you and me. God the Father turned his back, and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus therefore saw weeping, he wept with her. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Now, I like to preach a sermon about that. I've always wanted to preach on that text. I've heard of one or two preachers that preached on it. He told them to take away the stone. They could do that. But they couldn't raise the dead. But they could roll away a stone that had the door to the cave closed where the dead man was buried. You know, so many people want Jesus to do for them what they can do for themselves, you know. Now, he won't read your Bible for you. If you can see and read, you can get your Bible down and read it. He's not going to read it for you. He won't take that Bible and read it to you. If you can't read and want somebody to read it to you, he'll send somebody around if you'll ask him to do it. But he's not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. He won't say your prayers for you. You'll have to say your own prayers. He won't witness for you. You've got to be your own witness. You've got to tell people about Jesus. So many people want Jesus to do for them what they can do for themselves. I told you about that student one time at Bob Jones University. Said, I've been praying the Lord to help me pass my examinations. I said, he won't do it. He won't do a thing for you. You've been too lazy to study. Now you come up and ask God to prove your laziness. He won't do it. Now he said, roll the stone away. Right? Now you can do that. Get you some help and pull it back. It wouldn't have been any trouble for Jesus to have rolled it away. He could have moved mountains, but he'd been caught in them. And then they'd have had no part in the thing, see? You know, they couldn't raise the dead, but they could have a part in setting the stage for the resurrection, right? Isn't it a wonderful thing that we can be co-workers together with Christ? We can't save people, but we can tell people that Jesus can save them. We can't raise the dead, but we can tell people that Jesus will raise the dead. We can tell them about it. We can have some part in it. We can pass out a songbook at church, and they can sing about the blood of Jesus from that book. We can give out a gospel tract somewhere to tell people that Jesus is able to save them to the uttermost all who come to God by Him. We are co-workers together with Him. Now, we are doing what we can do, and He does what we can't do, see? The things we can't do, He does, see? Oh, there's so much you would like to do. You'd like to see your husband saved, wouldn't you? You can't save him, though. You can pray for him, though. You can live the right kind of Christian life. You have a child that's lost, and you won't see the child saved. Well, you can't save him. But you can be the right kind of Christian. You can talk to him about his soul, and you can do your duty and your part of it. You can be a co-worker. We're told to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I can't save people, but I can preach the gospel. It's the power of God and the salvation they want to believe it. So he said, now you roll the stone away. And, you know, I wonder who rolled the stone away. You know, I wonder what hands there were. There were elderly people standing around. They rolled the stone away. You know, they didn't get down. Their name's not in the Bible. Mary's name there, Martha, Lazarus, and his name. But I wonder sometimes, you know. I imagine somebody said, you know, I rolled the stone away. I helped get the stone away from the door. I saw Lazarus come out. I saw what happened. My, what a party. A little part. Just a little part. You can have your part. You can do your part. I'm only one, but I am one, you know. I cannot do everything, but I can do something, you know. What I can do, I ought to do. For the grace of God, I will do. Oh, Lord God, help each one of us in this place and other place to do what God have us do. Help us to start in today. Now, whatever He'd have us do, He told us to pray without ceasing. Help us to pray today. He said, we are His witness. Help us to be witnesses. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be true. Help us never to surrender, never compromise. Help us and keep us by Thy power, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.